Could we turn to Genesis chapter 37, please? Genesis chapter 37, and we're starting to read at the verse 1. Genesis chapter 37, and the verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Philpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to me, to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou shalt have dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the field of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry them down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then were passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent a coat of many colours, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces, and Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all the sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He said, For I will go down into the grave, unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and the captain of the guard. I know the Lord will bless his reading from his own infallible word. With God's word open, could we ask him to bless the reading of his word? Our Father, we thank thee for your word. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. Lord, bless the message today. And Lord, we would pray today, if there would be one that knows you not as Saviour, that this day they might come and trust thee as Saviour. Encourage thy people this day, and we'll give thee all the praise, and we'll give thee all the glory, for thou alone art worthy. Amen. As we study the Bible and look at the life story of many of the servants of God, we see in some cases typifies our blessed Lord Jesus. The obedience of Abraham in offering up Isaac is a representation of the love of God to us in delivering up his son, our blessed Lord Jesus, to die for us. For example, Jonah was 3 days in the fish's belly. The Lord Jesus was 3 days in the tomb. There are many more examples of this that we could see. But you know, in this chapter is the beginning of the story of Joseph. He was Jacob's eldest son by his beloved wife Rachel. He, like many eminent men, were of a mother that had been barren. You remember how Sarah was 90 years of age when the Lord came and told her that she would have Isaac. You remember how Hannah went in to pray in the temple that the Lord would give her a child, and the Lord gave her Samuel. Joseph, as we shall see this morning, typifies the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. I'll only have time this morning to look at a few, but I would recommend you in your own Bible study to have a look at this. It'll be a blessing to your soul. As we come to chapter 37 at the first two, as we come to look at Joseph in this chapter, we first of all see him as a shepherd feeding his father's sheep. As a shepherd feeding his father's sheep. And you know, Joseph knew each sheep by name. Joseph would go in front of the sheep and he would lead them into the pastures, green pastures, so that the sheep would be well fed and that the sheep would be well looked after. But not only did he lead the sheep and knew them by name, but the shepherds in those days had many wild animals to look after his sheep against. And we know about David the shepherd, and David would carry the sling to protect his sheep. And I'm sure as Joseph would lead the sheep into the green pasture for the sheep to have that best food to make sure that they wouldn't be sick or that they would die, and he would look after the sheep as well as he could. But you know, at the end of the day, he would gather up the sheep and he would go in front of the sheep and he would lead them into the Father's house. And he would count the sheep in and he would make sure that all the sheep were in. We know the story of the lost sheep. We read in the Bible how that shepherd counted the sheep in and there was only 99 and there was one lost. And I'm sure if there had been one of Joseph's sheep lost, he would have went out after that sheep. But you know, my friend, this morning, can I tell you about another shepherd? The great shepherd, or the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ knows his sheep. He knows them by name. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40 and 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arms. You know, the Lord Jesus has given us as the great shepherd the word of God for us to feed on. And you know, brethren and sisters in Christ, we need to feed on the word of God if we are to grow. You know the reason why there's so many Christians are weak and backsliding? Because they're not feeding on the word of God. You know, Joseph knew where to take his sheep to the best pastures that they could feed on. And you know, my friend this morning, believer, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us his word that we might feed on that word. And you know, if we don't feed on the word, we'll be weak and we'll be backslidden. You know, I'm amazed when I look sometimes when a preacher calls out a verse in the Bible. And you see people hunting in the New Testament, and maybe it's an Old Testament. And you see them turning up to the front page to look where it is. The sad thing today, brethren and sisters, is the people of God have not taken the Bible and are not reading the Word of God. They're reading the papers, they're reading everything else before they turn to the Word of God. I remember Dr. Barnes telling us a story in Martyrs one time. He told us of this lady, and she was a very religious lady. And she used to tell everybody, I love the Bible. Every morning I lift the Bible up and I read the Bible. It's the first thing into my hand. One day the preacher came to visit her. And the preacher was starting to talk, and they talked about different things. And they came to the Word of God, and the preacher told her, dear, you need to live in the Bible. It's the Bible, the meat of God, that builds you up. Oh, yes, preacher, I love the Bible. I read the Bible first thing every morning. My family knows I read the Bible. The preacher said, dear, I forgot my Bible. It's out in the car. Could I borrow one of yours? And the wee girl, the mother said, well, I'll get my daughter to go and get the Bible. She said this unto herself, and it'll look good that my daughter bring in the Bible to the minister. So she called her daughter and said, dear, will you go into the next room and bring that book that you see mommy reading every morning, first thing, will you bring it and give it to the minister? And as the minister sat there, the wee girl came in, and handed the minister the Women's Weekly magazine. The woman was found out that she wasn't reading the Word of God. Oh friend, the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd leadeth his sheep into green pastures. He leadeth us. But you know, as we turn to verse 4, we see another aspect of Joseph's life. Like the Lord Jesus, we see him as the Father's well-beloved son. Joseph is seen here as the object of his Father's love, a love which surely can be accounted for by the fact that he was the firstborn of the beloved wife Rachel, and because he waited on his father and was a great comfort to his father. His other brethren would go and take the sheep in a greater distance, as we've seen. But Joseph stayed with his father. And we can see the obedience of Joseph to his father. Joseph obeyed his father. He was a quiet-natured, a loving son. quick to obey his father's will, a meek person, a truly well-beloved son. We read in verse 13, his father's called him and said, Joseph, I want you to go and see your brethren and see how they're doing and bring me back the word. And the Bible tells us that Joseph said, here am I. Here am I. I'll go, Father. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go. He was the father's well-beloved son. My friend, this morning, can I turn to another well-beloved son? Can I bring you to Matthew chapter 3 and 17? Can I bring you to the River Jordan? The Lord Jesus Christ has just been baptized. And as he comes out of the water, the Spirit of God comes like a dove and rests upon the Savior. And the voice says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. The Lord Jesus Christ was the beloved Son of God the Father. Can I take you to the mountain? And there are Peter, James and John are standing. And they see the Lord Jesus transfigured with Moses and Elijah. And they hear a voice come from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Oh, my friend, this morning, yes, Joseph was a beloved son. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was the beloved Son of God the Father. He was willing to do the Father's work. Joseph was willing to answer all the work that he had to do for his Father. But you know, my friend, today, the blessed Lord Jesus, the beloved Son of God, was willing to do the Father's work. Remember when he was a little boy and he was in the temple and Mary and Joseph had lost him for a couple of days and they came and said, what are you doing? And he said, I must be about my Father's work. Oh friend, this morning the Lord Jesus Christ is the beloved Son of God. The beloved Son of God. But you know, as we move on, we want to look at the rejection of Joseph. As we turn to verse 5, we can see the rejection of Joseph. Joseph brought the message of his dream he had to share with his brethren, but they hated him the more. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why did his brothers hate Joseph? His father had made him a coat of many colours. This probably suggests his appointment to a position of trust or oversight, for such a garment was the garment of a prince or her. And you can just hear his brother, why did our father not give this to Reuben? After all, Reuben was the firstborn. Why did I not get it? Why did this boy Joseph get it? His brethren hated him. His brothers hated him the more because of his father's love for him and the authority given to him. In John's Gospel, we read of the rejection of the Lord Jesus. He, the Lord Jesus, came unto his own, and his own received him not. The reign and dominion of Jesus Christ, our Joseph, have been and are despised and striven against by a carnal and unbelieving world who cannot endure to think that this man will reign over us. He came on to his own and his own received him not. He came to the Jewish people, his own chosen people, and he came preaching the word to them, but they wouldn't have him. The rulers wouldn't have him. They rejected him. But you know, praise God, the word of God says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe in his name. I wonder this morning, my friend, in this meeting, have you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? From this pulpit, the gospel has been presented to you week after week from God's servants. And you've been told how you need to be saved, how you need to come to the Lord Jesus, how you need to be washed in the blood and have your sins dealt with under the blood. But week after week, you've rejected the Lord Jesus. Will this be another week that you'll reject him? Oh, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But praise God that but as many as received him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God. This morning, you can become a child of God. Yes, the brethren rejected Joseph. And we can see how this typifies in the Lord Jesus' life. He came unto his own people, the Jews, and they rejected him. But I want you to notice very quickly in verse 20, the plan to kill Joseph. Notice how much they hated Joseph. They plotted to kill him. How deliberate and malicious was the plot of his brethren. When they saw him afar off, they conspired to kill him. It was not in the heat of the moment to kill him. It was in cold blood. They could not endure to think that they would have to do or pay homage to their brother Joseph. Joseph was, as they heard, Joseph revealing in his dream. So they plotted to murder him. They plotted to murder their father's heir. You know the story, how they took him. And they put him into the pit. And they plotted to kill him. My friend, can I turn you to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 1. And we get to see the plan to kill the Lord Jesus. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They took counsel against him. Judas, you know the story, how Judas came and kissed the Savior, and how they took him in front of Pilate, and they scourged him, and they smote him, and they took him up the road to Calvary. And there on that middle cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died for sins. You know, they took off the Lord Jesus Christ's coat. And the Bible tells us that Joseph's brethren sat down after they took off his coat and dipped it in the blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that those that crucified him at the cross, they sat down with that seamless robe. That seamless robe that was stained with the precious blood of the Lord. The blood that was flowing from the stripes on his back. That precious blood. And we read how they cast lots for that seamless robe. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, the devil and his agents in the world have hated the Lord Jesus. They tried everything to destroy him and to kill him before Calvary. But praise God, our Lord Jesus at Calvary destroyed the works of the devil. You know, every time I read that verse in 1 John 3 and 8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I shout hallelujah. The devil's works have been destroyed. You know, Joseph's brethren thought they had got rid of their brother. They thought that casting him into the pit and selling him off, as we'll see in a minute, they thought they had got rid of Joseph. This man, we'll never see him again. We've got rid of him. And you know, all those that stood round the cross, the scribes and all the elders thought they had got rid of the Lord Jesus. He's dead. He's buried in the tomb. This man's following will just fade away. But praise God, today the Lord Jesus is the risen, exalted Savior. Joseph wasn't, as we'll see a bit later, wasn't done away with. Eventually they had to see their brother. And you know, someday, brethren and sisters, as believers, those wicked hands that put their hand upon the Savior will stand in front of him in judgment. And they'll look on. The Bible tells us that they'll look on the one who the pierced. And the Lord Jesus will judge them. Oh, they thought he was finished. But he was far from finished. And Joseph was far from finished. But I'm sure if we had looked into that pit where Joseph was, I'm sure we would have found a tearful Joseph. Remember, this wasn't strangers that were doing this to him. I'm sure you would have seen him shedding a tear. You know, tears are the universal language which everyone understands. We shed tears of joy. We shed tears for pain. We shed tears for sorrow. And you know, in that pit, if we had looked in, we would have seen a tearful Joseph. Joseph thought of the brethren that he loved and what they had done to him. Could I turn you to our Lord Jesus? And we read of the tears of the Lord Jesus. 3 times in the scriptures, the Lord Jesus wept. We read that he wept over Jerusalem. As he looked over Jerusalem and he saw what was going to happen to Jerusalem, how that great city would turn from God and how it would be taken over and how they would turn away from God. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus wept. We come to Lazarus' tomb and we see the Lord Jesus standing. He had just lost a friend. And we see the human part of our Saviour, the God-man. And the Bible tells us that he wept. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He saw the broken heart of Mary and Martha, and his heart was taken for them. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus wept. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read his prayers and his tears were offered up so that he might be preserved to offer up his person. And this he did. But you know, there's 2 other things very quickly we see that typify Joseph and the Lord Jesus. We'll not be able to touch them very quickly because our time's flying. But I want you to notice in verse 28 that Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. And you remember how our blessed Lord Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Judah sold his brother for 20 pieces of silver. Judas the traitor sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. In verse 28, Joseph had to go down into Egypt. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was a little child, the angel came and told Mary and Joseph to take the Lord Jesus down into Egypt until the ones that were planning to kill him had died. 2 men came into contact with Joseph. One was a butler and one was a baker. The butler was pardoned and the baker was condemned. 2 men came into contact with the Lord Jesus on the cross. One of the thieves was pardoned. And the other was condemned. But you know, finally this morning, brothers and sisters, I want us to look at Joseph's glory in Egypt. If we had had time in Genesis chapter 45 in the verse 15, we would have read, "Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them after that his brethren talked with him." Here we see Joseph, and he tells his brethren who he was. And I'm sure the brethren did not expect the treatment from Joseph. After all, they now see their brother in all his glory as a ruler in Egypt. And they would say to one another, "I think he'll get back on us. We're in trouble now. Joseph will remember what he's done against him." But you know, my friend, his brethren needed not to fear. Because Joseph realized all these years in Egypt was the plan of God for his life. And you know, we see Joseph desires that his father and family should come quickly from the famine land, that he may look after them for the rest of the famine. My friend, can I turn you to our Lord Jesus Christ? Our Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. Our Lord Jesus, being exalted to the highest honors and powers of heaven, it is his will that all who are his should be where he is. In John 17 we read, Father, I will that they also whom thou givest me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou givest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the earth, the world. You know, Joseph brought his family and presented them before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh welcomed them and gave them the best place in Egypt. And you know, brothers and sisters, believers this morning, someday our Lord Jesus Christ is going to take his children and he's going to present them to the Father, and he's going to say, Father, these are the children that you give me. And he'll present us to God the Father. But you know what I want to say to you this morning, person in this meeting without Christ? The only way that Joseph's family got in to see Pharaoh was through Joseph, because of Joseph's position. If those men had came and tried to get in to see Pharaoh, there was no way they would have got in, because shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians, and they wouldn't have let them in to see Pharaoh. It was because of Joseph's position. Joseph was the second in charge in Egypt, and he was able to get them in and present them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh welcomed them. My friend, this morning, without Christ, if you want to get into heaven tonight, today, you have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Just as those folks wouldn't have got in to see Pharaoh, there's no way you'll get in to see the Father in heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh yes, the brethren of Joseph and his father, they saw the glory and the great honor that Joseph was in. But you know, someday, believer, you and I will see the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, exalted into heaven. What about it today, my friend, without Christ? Will you be presented before the Father? Or will you have to stand on that great white throne of judgment? You know, we could go on and tell you more stories how Joseph's life typified the Lord Jesus, but our time is gone this morning. But I would just say, believer, we need to feed on God's word. We need to keep close to the Savior. And someday the Lord Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, will bring us safely home, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what shall it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? We're going to stand and close our meeting this morning.